for Leologos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Leologos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Σαν τον όθο με πετάς, μα κι απάνω μου κρεμιέσαι. Και βαθιά σε ευχαριστώ γιατί με μάθες και ξέρω να ανασένω που βρεθώ, να πεθαίνω που πατώ και να μην σε υποφέρω. Αχ Ελλάδα θα στο πω πριν λαλήσεις πετεινώ, 13 φορές μ' αρνιέσαι. Με εκβιάζεις μου κολλάς, σαν τον όθο με πετάς, μα κι απάνω μου κρεμιέσαι.
That was Nikos Papazoglou kicking off today's broadcast with Achelada here on Leologos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which airs on 20 radio stations across 5 countries, 4 continents, and online. My name is Michael Nevralakis, and today on our program we will feature analysis of the results of the Greek snap parliamentary elections, which were held on September 20th, with an interview as part of the Leologos interview series with political analyst Dimitri Laskaris of the Real News Network, who will share with us his insights about the Greek election results, the high abstention rate, the failure of the Popular Unity Party to enter into parliament, while also discussing his own political candidacy in the upcoming Canadian parliamentary elections as a member of the Green Party. This will be followed up by our own commentary and analysis of the election results in Greece, while we will also hear some great Greek music today as well. Coming up now, though, is the Diálogos interview series and our interview with Dimitri Laskaris of the Real News Network. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on Diálogos Radio in the Diálogos interview series is political analyst and journalist Dimitri Laskaris of the Real News Network. Dimitri analyzes Greek and international politics, and he's also a candidate with the Green Party in the upcoming Canadian parliamentary elections. Dimitri, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Michael.
Getting us started, after a tumultuous political summer in Greece where we saw the Syriza-led government turn its back on the referendum result of July 5th, where Greek voters resoundingly rejected austerity, we saw those same Greek voters bring Syriza back to power with barely a decline in its share of the vote compared to January's elections. Are you surprised by this result?
I am surprised that they didn't suffer more losses in terms of the popular vote. However, I'm not surprised, given the sad state of the Greek political landscape, that they emerged as the party with the most votes. The options, frankly, were not particularly attractive. And the one that I think was most disappointing from my perspective, I would have hoped that it would have performed better, was Popular Unity. Not because Popular Unity is necessarily ready to take power. It was a party that was remarkably formed, I think, just shortly after the election was called. And I've never, in my experience, seen a party perform well after it comes into existence following the calling of an election. I mean, parties need to have organizational infrastructure in place. They need to have funding in place. They need time in order to be able to contend. And Popular Unity had none of that. So it's not surprising they didn't have a dominant share, but I would have thought that they could have at least exceeded the 3% threshold. And this may have something to do with their choice of leader. I don't know whether the alternative was available to them or not, but I think that if they had put someone like Zoe Constantopoulou in the leadership position, they would have almost certainly performed better. She is, I think, a person of, she's proven herself to be a person, certainly by the standards of the Greek parliament, of considerable integrity and conviction. She seems to command a great deal of respect amongst the Greek electorate. And she would have constituted a break with the male-dominated past of Greek politics. And so perhaps that would have helped them get over the threshold and garner a larger share of the vote. But at the end of the day, there was no party, I think, that was really well-positioned, had the infrastructure in place to challenge Syriza in the sorry landscape of Greek politics.
You mentioned, of course, choice of leadership as far as Popular Unity is concerned. What other factors do you believe may account for the electoral failure of Popular Unity?
Well, I think that there was, and I must qualify my comments by saying that because, as you mentioned, I'm ensnared in my own electoral campaign at the moment, I haven't been able to pay as much attention to the Greek election as I would have liked. But as I understand it, there was a failure, to some degree at least, of the forces of the left, the anti-austerity forces of the left, to unite. My understanding is that there was some movement from the anti-capitalist front, Antarsia, to Popular Unity, but that there wasn't a complete union of those political forces. And of course, you have Kappa Kappa Epsilon remaining aloof of the attempts to unify the anti-austerity left. I think if there had been a true united political front put up, then there undoubtedly would have been a much better performance by the true anti-austerity forces in Greece. And I certainly don't count Syriza as it's currently constituted as part of that movement. So I think that had something to do with it.
We are on the air with political analyst Dimitri Laskaris here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Dimitri, one of the big stories coming out of this election is the very high abstention level, the highest in Greece in almost 70 years. What do you make of this? Do you believe that those eligible voters who did not participate in the elections were attempting to send their own message to the political system?
Certainly some of them would have, were probably of that mind. Others may have just been given up, frankly. If anything has been learned, over the last eight or nine months since the election of Syriza, it is that democracy doesn't matter anymore, in the European Union, particularly if you're, a voter in one of the so-called peripheral countries like Greece, which has very little, influence within the union because of the size of its population and its economy. And, it's not at all surprising that you would see a record low turnout after the democratic choice of the Greek people was completely squashed. There was a resounding and historic vote in excess of 60% in the face of intense pressure, to reject, the so-called bailout that was on the table in early July. And what did the Greek people end up with? They ended up with something worse than what they rejected. And I think it's actually worse by a wide margin. In those circumstances, why would anybody have any confidence at all in the democratic process in Greece? And at the end of the day, what we get is, by my math, Alexis Tsipras obtained the vote of 20% of eligible voters, one in five eligible voters. So if he thinks that he has some kind of a resounding mandate to now proceed with this inhumane austerity program, I think, frankly, the man lives on another planet.
This is the Dialogos Radio. We will return after a short break.
Έπεσα με στη φωτιά. ελπίδες από εκείνη τη στιγμή που μη είδες πως θα είμαστε μαζί. Παραδόθηκα στο κοίταγμά σου, πίστεψα στα λόγια τα δικά σου, έπεσα μες στη φωτιά.
We now return to the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio. We're speaking with political analyst Dimitri Laskaris here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. And Dimitri, why do you believe that the 62% that voted no in the referendum back on July 5th didn't manifest itself more strongly in the electoral results of this past Sunday?
Well, I think it has to do partly with disillusionment. They saw the effect of their vote in the referendum was nil. They saw a result that was actually worse than that they rejected. I think it has to do with the fact that there wasn't a true unification of the anti-austerity forces of the left. I think that also probably exacerbated their disillusionment a little bit, the fact that they weren't able to, those forces weren't able to unite and present a cohesive force. At the end of the day, and I think it has something to do with the choice of leaders, as I indicated at the outset. I don't think the people who were put in charge of the forces of the left, who are currently in charge, are necessarily the ones who are going to inspire the population the most.
What type of government do you believe will be formed in Greece in the aftermath of this election, and how long do you believe this new coalition will last?
Well, it appears that Enel is going to be the coalition partner. The prior coalition partner, the Independent Greeks, is going to be the next coalition partner of Syriza. If we weren't dealing with it with an agreement, a so-called bailout agreement that is going to have devastating effects on an already ravaged Greek economy, I would say that this coalition would have some prospect of lasting for several years. But the reality is quite different. The further reduction in pension benefits, primary surplus targets, which are simply irrationally aggressive, the additional taxes, consumption taxes and income taxes that are being imposed upon the population, the privatization program, which is going to result in a fire sale of key Greek assets. All of these things are going to exacerbate the economic difficulties in Greece. It's already dealing with depression-era levels of unemployment. And there's, in my view, no realistic prospect whatsoever of Greece obtaining the debt relief that it requires in order for its debt to become sustainable. The German government has been quite clear that a write-down is out of the question. And they've even said that there may be some minor tweaking of the interest rates, which is possible, but they really don't have any appetite for that. All they're really talking about doing is extending the maturities on Greek debt, and that is going to be a very marginal benefit to the Greek people, because, as I understand it, the next debt principal payment dates are in 2022. So if you extend out the maturities modestly, which is what the German government is talking about doing, there's going to be no significant benefit to the government fiscally for the next 6 years. And when a country's in a depression, that's an eternity, 6 years. And certainly this government has no prospect of lasting 6 years. So what we're going to find very soon is that the Greek debt drama will again resurface. It will again become apparent, no matter what modest debt relief is afforded to Greece, that debt is unsustainable, and it's wildly unsustainable, that this program that is being imposed upon the Greek people has no prospect whatsoever of lifting Greece out of its depression, and will in fact exacerbate it. And when all of that becomes readily apparent, as it soon will, we are going to find ourselves again in a world of immense political instability in Greece, and that government will fall. And at that point, I don't know. I mean, all bets are off as to what could happen. Many of us have feared that the extreme right will eventually become a much more potent political force. It's already a force that has a frightening level of support amongst the population at around, I think, 7%. I believe it's now the third, and previously was the third largest party in parliament. That's really a raging indictment against the European Union that a party, a virulently neo-Nazi party, could command that level of support in a country in the European Union. So what happens when that government falls, as it will, you know, in I think a reasonably short order, is really uncertain and could cause us all to rue the day that the European Union was created.
In your view, how can the Greek people and the anti-memorandum forces in Greece mobilize and regroup and gain a stronger foothold in the Greek political landscape, especially if the current government does not last very long?
Well, I think the forces of the left have to demonstrate themselves capable of, I think, significantly improving the day-to-day lives of the people. You know, and through cooperative networks, grassroots efforts, you know, it's possible I think, inspire a greater level of confidence amongst the Greek electorate. But the sad reality is that in the current environment, it's very, very difficult for any political force in Greece to make a meaningful difference in the lives of the Greek people. There has to be ultimately either a withdrawal from the Eurozone, which itself invites quite significant risks, and many would say potentially catastrophic risks for the Greek economy, or there has to be a wholesale change in the architecture of the Eurozone. Right now, the Eurozone has austerity baked into its DNA, and it's dominated by political forces that are absolutely determined, in the face of a mountain of economic evidence to the contrary, to pursue austerity throughout the European Union, and to continue to weaken the rights of workers, to continue to favor large business interests over the population. And as long as that is the political landscape in the Eurozone, and as long as Greece remains within the Eurozone, any political force in Greece, however well-intentioned it may be, is going to be extremely limited in what it can do.
Before wrapping up, let's talk about your own political activity, as you are a candidate in the upcoming Canadian parliamentary elections with the Green Party. Share with us a few words about your campaign.
Well, my campaign, to give you some context, the Green Party in Canada currently commands a little less than 5% of the popular vote. The party in power, the Conservative Party of Canada, is without doubt the most neoliberal right-wing government that this country has probably ever seen, and certainly has seen in the post-World War II period. The government that's currently in power seems to have one overarching objective, and that is to convert Canada into a petro-state superpower, and for that purpose has bended or altered the laws to favor the tar sands industry, which is concentrated in the province of Alberta in the west of the country. That party has, through the pursuit of these policies, earned a very high level of opposition and hostility from the vast majority of the electorate. It's currently commanding about 30% of the popular support. The problem is that the other forces, political forces, are divided. It's not dissimilar to what you see in Greece, although the level of division is not quite as acute as it is in Greece. There are three parties opposing, three significant parties opposing the Conservative government. The first is the Liberal Party. The second is the New Democratic Party, which historically has been the social democratic force in Canadian politics. And then there's the Green Party. You know, and I chose the Green Party for one simple reason, and that is those two parties are the parties of the Liberals and the NDP have become the parties of the status quo. And this country faces quite severe problems. And at the very top of the list is climate change. We all face that problem. And there's absolutely no appetite in the leadership of the NDP or the Liberals to confront that problem. They, in fact, are openly advocating for an expansion of the tar sands. They favor, to varying degrees, the construction of pipeline infrastructure that will facilitate the expansion of the tar sands. And even the NDP, I think there was a very telling and sad development in Canadian politics. Through one of its star candidates, a candidate by the name of Linda McQuaig in Canada's largest city, Toronto, under the bus about a month ago, because she had the courage to state a simple scientific fact, which is that in order for us to avoid catastrophic climate change, we're going to have to leave the majority of the oil in the ground. I mean, this is just science. This is not a political judgment. When she said this, the leadership rushed to the microphones because she came under fierce attack from the right, and said that that's not part of the NDP platform. So here you have Canada's so-called Social Democratic Party saying that science is not part of its platform, and basic humanity is not part of its platform, because the consequence of it rejecting the science will be a disaster for humanity. And quite apart from that, the NDP, under a gentleman by the name of Tom Mulcair, has begun to look increasingly like the current government. It favors, for example, democracy-destroying trade agreements like the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and there's an agreement under negotiation with Europe, in fact, the Canada-European Trade Agreement, all of which contain investor-state dispute resolution provisions that will effectively give multinational corporations the ability to obtain huge judgments, potentially multi-billion dollar judgments against Canada when it adopts legislation that's economically, environmentally beneficial for the citizens. And the people who are going to be deciding whether these judgments ought to be rendered against the Canadian government are going to be corporate lawyers, the very people who are enriched by the activities of the multinationals who will be suing the government of Canada in the future. So these provisions, these investor state dispute resolution mechanisms are horrible for our democracy, are fundamentally antithetical to the principles of social democracy. And we have the leader of the so-called Social Democratic Party, Tom Mulcair, saying publicly a few weeks ago that his party now enthusiastically supports the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And in fact, it supported a recent agreement between Korea and Canada, which contained essentially the same type of provisions. So what we have here, similar to what we are seeing in Greece, is a wasteland in the political scene. And there's only one party that is truly offering transformative change, and that's the Green Party, and that's why I decided to run for them. Of course, we don't have the advantages of the money, the financial support that the other parties receive, particularly the Conservatives. And we don't have the benefit of media sympathy. Like Europe and like the United States, Canada has a high level of corporate concentration in the media. The people who run the media here, frankly, have an agenda, in my view, that is inconsistent with the objectives of the Green Party. And so we're constantly having to battle against those forces. And our leader, who has been given one opportunity in this election to debate the other leaders, and I think who was universally or almost universally viewed as having been the winner of that debate, has been shut out of subsequent debates by various shenanigans by the media and the main political parties. Her name is Elizabeth May, and she's widely admired across the political spectrum. But she can't get in front of the microphone nearly often enough in order to convey to the electorate what the party has to offer and why we are the party that the people of Canada should support in order to save the future of our children.
Well, Dimitri, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today and for your analysis, and best of luck in your campaign.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio.
Μικρές περιπλανήσεις με εκείνους που δεν ήρθαν στις άδειες ώρες θα ακουμπήσεις, θα χάθεις. Ψεύτικα στα στολίδια τα λόγια σου λυγάνε πώς να σωθείς. Της πρώτης μου αγάπης τις ωραίες τις στιγμές που να τις βρω. Κοντά μου πάντα θα είναι στον δρόμο σου. το καφέ το πρωινό. Φαρμένες παραστάσεις, ένας αγέρας λέει, σχεδία η ζωή δεν τα προφτάσεις, αλλού να πας. Στο κρύο αντιδρόμι, πολύ κρυφά γελάει,
Diálogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Diálogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. That was a song titled Mikres Periplanisis here on Diálogos Radio, performed by a group that goes by the same name. Well, before that, we wrapped up this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our discussion with political analyst and journalist Dimitri Laskaris. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, as well as in our apps for Android, Kindle, BlackBerry, and Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Store, and elsewhere. We'll enjoy some music now, and we'll be back in a few moments with our commentary of the week here on Diálogos Radio.
Ξόδεψα. Βαρέθηκα, κουράστηκα και αηδίασα τα νιάτα μου στη λογική θυσίασα. Τα τρελά φύγει ο κόσμος έξω. Απ' έξω βαρέθηκα, κουράστηκα και πόνεσα τα νιάτα μου στη λογική τα ξόδεψα. Βαρέθηκα, κουράστηκα και ηθίασα στη λογική θυσίασα.
Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We just heard Eleni Vitali in a song titled Anikta Tatreladika here on Dialogos Radio, and coming up right now is our Commentary of the Week segment. Dialogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Each week, Michael Navradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next here on Dialogos Radio. As it turns out, there was no hope, and that was plainly evident after the historic referendum of July 5th in Greece. As the Syriza-led Greek government was preparing to sell out the result of the referendum and to agree to an even harsher set of austerity measures than that which had just been rejected by the voters, the amount of protesters who congregated at Syntagma Square in Athens barely reached 2,000, a far cry from the huge rallies in support of the no vote prior to the referendum. Why was this the case? This was the case because prior to the referendum, Syriza and its governing partner, the Independent Greeks, made a big show of supposed resistance and mobilized tens of thousands of Greeks to come out and rally in support of no. Immediately after the referendum, though, the shepherds did not lead the herd back out onto the streets, and without a shepherd, the Greek people won't go any further than to their local cafe to drink their frappé. On the night of the referendum, I had written an article where, in the last paragraph, I warned about the impending selling out of the no vote by the Syriza-led government, and about the high likelihood that the Greek people would accept this betrayal without resistance. I had written that Greece's true referendum began that night, and the result of that true referendum would be determined by the actions of Greece's citizens. And since the people of Greece did not react when they should have, the result was and remains quite clear, as we saw in the parliamentary election of this past Sunday. The 62% who voted no in a referendum did so for a number of reasons. The main reason was that they had shepherds in place, namely Tsipras and Kamenos and Varoufakis, despite the fact that the government, as has been revealed, secretly was hoping that the yes vote would prevail. The no vote was a reaction from a position of security for the people, as Syriza had promised that the no vote would not mean a catastrophic default and collapse of the Greek economy. It was a passive reaction on the part of the voters, who were not asked to do anything more challenging than to simply go and vote. I believed then, and I believe still, that the events which have followed have justified this belief, that only a small percentage of the 62% actually voted no because they truly believed it and understood what no meant, and it was a huge mistake for millions of Greeks and non-Greeks alike to get swept up by the euphoria and enthusiasm of the referendum result, as there was no evidence that anything substantial was actually going to change, especially since the Syriza-led government had not presented any proposals whatsoever as to the policies it would follow in the event that no prevailed. And just as the Greek people need a shepherd, the same is true of citizens around the world. Does anyone still remember the so-called solidarity rallies for Greece which were organized prior to the Greek referendum? What happened to these rallies? Where did all of this solidarity for Greece go? It seemingly has vanished into thin air. Perhaps was it the case that these rallies were organized by Syriza and by its funders and were tossed out into the garbage along with the referendum result when they were no longer needed? Just some food for thought. And so we made it to the snap parliamentary elections of September 20th, elections where essentially nothing changed in the Greek political landscape, with the blessings, of course, of the Greek electorate. What you won't hear in the media, however, is the true result of these elections, where the first place party, Syriza, will govern with the votes of merely 19.5% of the registered electorate, while the percentage of registered voters who abstained reached 45%. And yet, in the so-called democracy of Greece, the 19.5% of Syriza translates into 35% of the final election result, meaning the votes of those voters who participated, and that 35% translates to Syriza attaining 48% of the parliamentary seats, including the 50-seat bonus that is afforded to the first-place party. In sum, the pro-memorandum parties have attained over 95% of the parliamentary seats, despite attracting less than 50% of registered voters. Such creative mathematical ambiguity could not have been thought up even by Yanis Varoufakis himself. But I forgot, Syriza will, any day now, restore the Greek electoral system to one of proportional representation, just as it had promised prior to the January elections. According to the esteemed Greek constitutional lawyer Yorgos Kasimatis, the elections of this past Sunday were illegal and unconstitutional, as the early snap elections were not called for one of the reasons which is foreseen by the Greek constitution. And of course, not a thing is said about the role of the company which is charged with the tallying of the votes in Greek elections, Singular Logic, whose major shareholders include corrupt Greek businessmen Andreas Vianopoulos and Varadis Varadinoyanis, plus the Rockefeller family. Of course, we did not hear any of this from the otherwise objective and reliable media. Instead, what we heard again and again is that the Greek people had no other choices. Even the allegedly leftist Greek online outlet The Press Project, the website which last year censored my series of investigative articles on corruption and censorship in the Greek media landscape, admitted that it does not allow certain anti-memorandum candidates to be featured on its pages, but that it has no problem speaking to notorious and foul-mouthed pro-memorandum political personalities. A journalist from The Press Project, in a recent article featured on Truthout, claimed that Greek voters have no choice but to accept more neoliberalism. It is these media outlets which likely influenced the voters of Syriza and the other pro-memorandum parties in these elections. The same media outlets which for the seventh straight election in Greece were woefully off the mark as far as the exit polls and the absolutely non-credible survey results which he presented to the Greek audience, but which continue to be repeated as credible news by Greek and foreign media outlets. What the Greek people seem to not have understood is that political parties and political leaders don't just drop from the sky. If none of the parties are acceptable, citizens have the right to create new parties and movements or to at least exert pressure towards the existing parties, instead of sucking up to them for grants and for patronage jobs for their precious children. And if voters really wanted to send a message by abstaining, they could have done so in a massive and organized manner, picketing election sites in the offices of the various political parties. But of course, this did not happen. We have also continuously heard that there is no other choice than to remain in the Eurozone and the European Union. We've heard this so many times, in fact, that it has become the gospel for many Greek citizens, and yet it seems none of them have sat down to consider that there are countries like the United Kingdom, Denmark, and Sweden who are not members of the Eurozone, with the latter two having a smaller population in Greece, while there are also countries such as Norway and Switzerland who are neither in the Eurozone nor in a European Union. When Greek citizens see nice Skoda automobiles on a road, they fail to consider that they are imported from the Czech Republic, a country that is not in a Eurozone and which does not wish to be in a Eurozone. Instead of looking at reality, though, we keep parroting everything that is said by Tsipras, such as his flat-out lie that the Central Bank of Greece does not have foreign currency reserves, and that Greece does not produce anything and cannot survive without Europe. Greece is a country which is gifted with an incredible amount of resources, but whose population is asleep at the wheel, where parents urge their children to all become only doctors, lawyers, and engineers, not realizing that even a healthy Greek economy could not sustain so many doctors and lawyers. And then, when our children cannot find jobs, we hear that Greece is a country without hope or prospects and which cannot exist without Europe. It would be good for us to understand which Europe we are even talking about. The European Union that was founded by ex-Nazis. The European Union which, along with the United States, is waging war in the Middle East, and who are together responsible for the massive wave of refugees coming into Europe. Refugees who have found, in many cases, borders that have been sealed off, or who have been housed in former concentration camps, which are once again operating as temporary housing for the refugees. This is the European Union which allows one of its member states, Greece, to open a school year without enough teachers and to have hospitals operating without enough staff, while it will now force Greece to enforce over 227 new austerity measures, which will include the privatization of Greece's airports and harbors and the public power utility, more new taxes, lowered wages and pensions, and the dismantling of whatever little is left of the social state. Having said all of this, the only thing to add as far as Greek voters is concerned is, once again, shame on you. TheAlogosMedia.org, our website which brings you the latest news from The Alagos Radio, live streaming of The Alagos Radio 24/7, podcasts, on-demand programming, and much more. Visit us today at TheAlogosMedia.org.
Σαν Αμερικάνος, μ' αρέσει στα κρυφά κι ο Μητροπάνος. Έλληνας, ναι ο Έλληνας. Παράθυγη λουλουδιασμένη τσιά και ψήλωση κοντούλα λεμονιά. Στα σάλωνα δε σπάζουνε αρνιά, δεν πάει το παπάκι στη ποταμιά. Παπαλάβρενα γυμνή, χαϊδεύει δώρο συσκεύη σε ένα τηλεπαιχνίδι πουλημένο. Πουλάκι ξένο, πουλί χαμένο, που τρώει τα σπλάχνα, δεν βγάζω άχνα. Και όταν δεν τραχτίζω με ζωνέτες, θα κάνω τα παιδιά μου μαριονέτες. Σ' ένα κλουβί γραφείο σαν αγρίμι παίζω ατέλειωτο κουβό ταξίμι. Έλληνας, ναι ο Έλληνας. Παράθυκη λουλουδιάς με μύτια και ψήλωση κοντούλα λεμονιά. Στα σάλωνα δε σβάζουνε αρνιά, δεν πάει το παπάκι στην ποταμιά. Η παπαλάβρενα γυμνή χαϊδεύει δώρο συσκεύη σε ένα τηλεπαιχνίδι πουλημένο. Πουλάκι ξένο, πουλί χαμένο, που τρώει τα σπλάχνα, δεν βγάζω άχνα. Κατίντας μου πιάσε τη φτέρνα, μπερδεύω το τζουκμπόξ με τη λατέρνα. Πάνω απ' του τάφου μου το κυπαρίσι, μαύρη χελώνα με έχει κατουρίσει. Έλληνας, ναι ο Έλληνας. Μαλάθηκε λουλουδιασμένη πια και ψήλωση κοτούλα λεμονιά. Τα σάλωνα δε σφάζουνε αρνιά, δε πάει το παπάκι στην ποταμιά. Η παπαλάβρενα γυμνή
χαϊδεύει δώρο συσκευή σε ένα τηλεπαιχνίδι πουλημένο. Πουλάκι ξένο, πουλί χαμένο, που τρώει τα σπλάχνα, δεν βγάζω άχνα.
Παράγκα, φύρμα Γκρέκα, τέμπο, μουριέλα, Αγγαρία, γκράντε, μαέστρο, καλαμπόρτζο, ράτσα, μπαρούφα, ομελέτα, ιστορία. Γκράντε, μαέστρο, καλαμπόρτζο, ράτσα, μπαρούφα, ομελέτα, ιστορία.
Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά.
Μάτσο, αμάκα, καπιτάλε, σκάρτο, τανάλια, πολιτσία, φράγκο, ρεζέρβα, φαλιμέντο, πέργε, μαντζάρε, σοσιαλίστε, κομπανία. Φράγκο, ρεζέρβα, φαλιμέντο, πέργε, μαντζάρε, σοσιαλίστε, κομπανία.
Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά.
Δέλτα, Μαντόνα, Μανιβέλα, φρένο, στραπάτσο, καραμπόλα, μόδα, καβάλα, ντολτσεβίτα, τρόμπα, φιγούρα, σαχλαμάρα κι αρπακόλα. Μόδα, καβάλα, ντολτσεβίτα, τρόμπα, φιγούρα, σαχλαμάρα κι αρπακόλα.
Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. 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 Μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά. Μασκαρά, Γκρέκο, μασκαρά.
Μασκαρά,
Γκρέκο, μασκαρά.
The long and corrupt history of lawlessness, patronage, and censorship in the Greek media is revealed in our new series of investigative articles. Visit dialogosmedia.org today to read our investigative series and to learn more about the long-standing state of corruption and censorship in Greece's media, as well as the worsening conditions for freedom of speech and the press. head on over to dialogosmedia.org today to read our articles and to get more of the hard-hitting journalism you've come to expect from Diálogos Media. Follow Diálogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Diálogos Radio, where we just heard Yanis Miliokas with Greco Mascara, and prior to that, Dzimis Panousis with a song titled Neoelinas. Well, before that, we heard Diálogos Radio's Commentary of the Week. Today's program is just about ready to come to a close, but on our upcoming broadcast, we will feature a highly interesting and timely interview with Deborah Berman Santana, a retired professor of ethnic studies at Reed College in Oakland, California, who will speak to us about the economic crisis in what has sometimes been disparagingly called the Greece of the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, and how this crisis and a response to it bears many similarities with what we have been seeing in Greece these past few years. That is coming up on our next broadcast, and until then, be sure to check out our website where you can find our recently published interview with analyst and scholar James Petras, which was featured in English on Truthout and in Greek on freepen.gr. You can also find our recent interview for the Real News Network on the outcome of the Greek elections, and all of this is available on our website, dialogosmedia.org. We will wrap up today's broadcast with 2002 GR and Ilias Asvestopoulos singing Ipospos. This is Michael Nevradakis. Thanks for joining us today for another broadcast of Diálogos Radio.
Εσύ μου πες πως μ' αγάπας, πως είμαι για σένα ο παράδεισος. Στα μαύρα σου μάτια το φως, ο φίλος σου κι ο αδέλφος. Εσύ μου πες πως μ' αγάπας, μα πριν ξημερώσει μ' αρνήθηκες. Κι εγώ που σε πίστεψα πως θα ζήσω ξανά μονάχος. Τώρα φεύγεις κι αφήνεις ρητίδες. Χτύπα κι εσύ, η καρδιά μου να αντέξει μπορεί. Εσύ μου πες πως μ' αγαπάς, πως είμαι για σένα ο παράδεισος. Στις άδειες σου νύχτες το φως, στο στήθος σου εσύ μη χρύσος. Εσύ μου πες πως μ' αγαπάς, μα πριν ξημερώσει μ' αρνήθηκες. Μικρό μου αστέρι που πας, εσύ μου πες πως μ' αγαπάς.